Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, Ram fans. This is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it. Hey, everybody. I'm happy to bring back Payo Time, our Rams fan from the Great North, from Canada. How's it going, man?
Mark, it's great to be back. It's been too long since we've collabed. Thanks for reaching out and thanks for putting this together. I'm excited to talk some Rams for you. There's lots to talk about.
Yeah. Hey, why don't you tell everybody that didn't catch you the first time, tell my audience who you are and what you do. I think you have a really cool story and a really cool thing you do on your YouTube channel.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So I have a YouTube channel. I've been a YouTuber for about 3 years now. This next season will be my fourth season covering the Rams. And I do watch parties for each and every Rams game. If you're a Rams fan like me, that you don't necessarily live in California, but you love the Rams, it's a fun place to hang out and just, you know, complain about the refs together or, cheer when they score a touchdown. And we have a lot of fun in the watch parties as we watch and react together. And then I do little skits here and there. I like to experiment a lot on my YouTube channel. So sometimes I'll do skits. Sometimes I'll do just like news reactions and just try and encourage conversation because I appreciate opinions that are unlike my own. And I love it when I can, connect with people in the comment section and have conversations about the Rams. There's not many Rams fans where I live. So this YouTube thing is my way of, connecting with other Rams fans, and I love
it. Now, how did you become a Rams fan?
Yeah, so back in 1999, young Payo was a wee little lad, and I come from a football family, and so my family was very much like, go to church in the morning, and then we come home, and we just watch football together, and it was awesome. And When I was a little kid in 1999, that's when the Rams, Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Torrey Holt, Ricky Prohl, Isaac Bruce, like Orlando Pace, like all those legends were just, they were such a fun team to watch. And I remember my brother, he was like, if you pick a team, they're your team for life. You can't be a bandwagoner. And so I hopped on that Rams bandwagon, and now I like to consider myself one of the drivers of it.
Yeah, I remember that story now. You shared it last time, and it reminded me of my son. He was, he was 9 years old that season, and he hadn't really been paying close attention to the NFL, and he started watching with me, and I had to explain to him, this is a very special season that you're watching here. And it's not always like this, but he's actually grown into as big a Ram fan as I am.
Oh, that, you're a good father.
Well, during the Fisher years, I kind of had to apologize to him a lot. It's like, sorry I took you down this path, son.
But hey, if he survived the 2009 Rams, then, I'm sure you guided him well.
I remember sitting in a sports bar with him when he was in college celebrating a random win. I don't know what year it was. I think it was against the Washington Redskins at the time. And I think it was one of their 3 or 4 wins. And we were so excited to pull off a win on a last second field goal, a meaningless game and a meaningless year. But hey, you celebrate the wins. Seasons like that, you celebrate every win.
Always, yeah.
So how did you feel about the 2023 season?
Mark, I'm kind of glad we waited on this collab, because how I feel now is different than how I felt, to the loss in the Lions in the playoffs. And you never want to see your team lose in the playoffs, right? But as I reflect on it, there's so much to love about this past season. There were some really fun games. There were some amazing plays. We have, a group of young Rams, like an epic rookie class last year that grew up before our very eyes all season long. And that was kind of a cool experience seeing that happen. And not just like Puka Nacua, who like was his own story. Steve Avila or Byron Young was really cool. Or Kobe Turner, the conductor. And this that's just their first year. It's their rookie season. And I'm excited for what growth we see next year out of all these young players. And I think that something in today's NFL, when you build your team the way that the Rams do, you kind of have to have seasons like this where, okay, there's hope, there's optimism. It gives fans expectations for next year. But this season, we were in most games. We don't talk about the Packers game, but we in most of the games we were in. And they had a chance to win the majority of them, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And as a fan of a team that was in a rebuild, retool, remodel, whatever you call it, can you really ask for anything more?
Yeah, I feel the same way. And looking back, again, disappointing to lose. I think we actually had a chance to go to the Super Bowl. But by the time we got to the playoffs, we were humming along pretty well. I'm not saying we would have if we got past Detroit, but we had a chance. And looking back, I mean, it was probably not as fun as the 1999 season, because that was super special. But this year was probably my most enjoyable Rams season. And it has a lot to do with what you mentioned, the players. I put together the top 10, 11 plays or whatever it was from the Rams season. And it was basically the Puka Nacua show, just incredible how many plays he made. And the other thing I like about this team is, I don't know if it's by design or just by chance, but there are so many likable players on this team that are easy to root for, as opposed to some of our divisional rivals, I think, that have, if they're on your team, you root for them, but you look across the sideline and, they kind of leave a bad taste in my mouth, some of these other guys.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, between Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp especially, and Puka, And on the defensive side, I suspect a lot of opposing fans don't care for Aaron Donald, but I can understand that, I guess. He's been beaten up on these guys for almost a decade. So did you hear about Brian Allen today?
I did, yeah. I'm glad we were going to talk about that. Not a total shock, in my opinion. We knew that this is the time of year that, you know, decisions are made, and the reality is he kind of lost he did lose the starting job to Colton Shelton, and in a backup role commanding the salary that he was being paid, I just don't think you can do that for your roster, even if you, as much as you like the player as a person, you know, and clearly they have, right?
Yeah, and I think the reason he fell out of favor with them is he was drafted with an eye on that zone blocking, the zone rushing attack. And when they decided to go with more of the power running game, Coleman Shelton, not that Coleman Shelton was all that. I mean, he played pretty well, but Coleman Shelton was just a better fit. So, yeah, kind of a bummer. I like Brian Allen. He was a warrior, battled through a lot of injuries. But, yeah, it does make sense. What surprised me was I did see this coming, but I thought maybe they would have waited till after free agency and they re-signed Coleman Shelton. Or does this mean they don't really care if Coleman Shelton walks? Do they have other plans? I'm not sure. What do you think? What do you think's going on with the, or is it Steve Avila sliding over to center?
You know, that might happen. I think it goes with the Rams wanted to retool this line and get younger, right? And, you know, we saw that with the Logan Bruss pick. That hasn't really worked out 2 years later, but, you know, never know. Steve Avila, that was arguably, like, between him and Nacua, like such a fantastic pick, right? And I feel like because he's a guard, he sometimes gets shafted away, but he played amazing this year, and he was the only Ram that played every offensive snap all season long for the Rams, and that's fantastic, and he's such a likable guy himself. But yeah, so my mindset is I think the Rams are trying to get younger on the O-line and a little beefier too.
Right. You know what I mean? So do you think what do you think is going to happen in free agency? Any predictions? I'm thinking, in my opinion, edge rusher. They obviously got to figure out the cornerback and safety positions. Maybe offensive line, but I don't know. I'm just really confused what their plan is along the offensive line. What are your thoughts on free agency?
Yeah, Mark, I would politely disagree with you a little bit on the edge rusher, just because I feel like for years now, every offseason, we always say as Rams fans, like, oh, we need to address the edge. We need to address the edge. This current front office with Les Snead, it seems the only edge they want is like a rotational edge or guys that they draft. They, you know, sure, they made the big trade for Von Miller, but unless that kind of opportunity comes up where like they can get a Brian Burns or something, it just seems to me that the Rams don't want to pay big bucks for, you know, an edge rusher. And even with Von Miller, they got him at mid-season and they did try and pay him, but then when Buffalo came in, the Rams were like, okay, you can have him at that price. So I'm not convinced they're gonna, you know, pick up an edge rusher via free agency. I do think they'll try and re-sign Dodson. I think that's a top priority for them. And then from there, evaluate your players you have in that line room. And, you know, maybe you have to watch other teams who comes available. But I think that, you know, the Rams did a great job last offseason. And it was kind of when they made the decision, you know, to trade Ramsey, move on from Bobby Wagner and, you know, Leonard Floyd, it was in the mindset of, okay, this roster got overhauled last year. This is a 2-year kind of rebuild. But this year, we're getting younger. We're getting all these new players, developing them. But next year, we're going to have the cap space to make some big moves. We're going to pay off our dead cap debts. You know, the credit card is clean. And I think the Rams are going to make some really big flashy moves and we don't really see coming right now.
Yeah, so the Brian Allen move saves them another almost $5 million, I think. Where do you think they are going to make a splash? I mean, Kevin Dotson, retaining him is going to cost some money. Do you have a position group that you think they're going to focus on, or are you guessing, you guessing along with the rest of us at this point?
I think DeMarcus Robinson might be a priority to re-sign. But this is totally my guess. Your guess is as good as mine. I think they would love to secure that receiving room and the O-line. The other name that, and again, I don't exactly know what's going to happen, but like Jordan Fuller at safety, like, you know, or Witherspoon, you know, at corner. So those secondary players that you'd like to come back, but again, the Rams don't pay safeties, so I don't see Fuller coming back, but they do pay corners. So I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on the Rams secondary via free agency?
Well, now if Witherspoon leaves, what does that leave them with? Darion Kendrick, Kobe Durant, Trey Tomlinson, and Sean Dolly. Quentin Lake can come up and play a little slot, I guess. That's pretty scary to me if that's your cornerback room.
Yeah.
Now, they could use their first pick for there's some dynamite cornerbacks in this draft in the first round. There's like five or six guys. I'd be happy to have any one of them. But I still think you need to keep someone or bring in a veteran. I just don't know how much you want to spend. If you told me that they were retaining Witherspoon and drafting someone like Kool-Aid McKinstry, I'd be really happy with that. And then, you know, you can find some cornerbacks on the open market to fill out that group, draft one in the fourth or fifth round. And then your other free agent splash, maybe along the offensive line. I don't know. It depends on how much money they really end up having to spend. I'm guessing along with you, it's free agency comes before the draft. So what I think will happen is, if I were to take a guess right now, I'm thinking right along with you, the first thing they're going to do is try to retain Dotson.
Yeah.
And then the second thing they're going to try to do is, I think they're going to be a little patient after that and let a bunch of other teams make the big splashes and see where the chips fall a little bit. And then get some deals that make sense. If that included Witherspoon and DeMarcus, that would be ideal. And then go from there. I think kind of rolls right into a discussion about the draft. You know, by the time the draft rolls around, the Rams will have a few things figured out. How would you like them to? What would you like to see them do with that first pick,
19th overall?
Trade back or trade for a veteran, or
I'm semi joking but semi serious. I kind of like the idea of trading it, either trade back and accumulate more picks, or trade it for proven talent like they've done in the past. To me, if they do that, that's Les Snead and Sean McVay saying the Super Bowl window is wide open. We believe we are at a place where we're just a couple of pieces away. You know, let's trade and go get that pass rusher. Let's trade and go get that corner we're looking for. Let's trade, go get, you know, I don't think they necessarily trade to get an offensive lineman, but who knows? I just think that the value that you can use, you can leverage first round picks to get proven star talent, has worked really well for the Rams. Will I be disappointed if they select at 19? No, I get excited about it. And if they do, I'd like them to go corner like most Ram fans. I don't think O-line is out of the question as well, but yeah. What are your thoughts?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I have been predicting that the Rams are going to come into this draft with 11 picks.
Yep.
And last year they had 14 picks that all made the team. I have a hard time believing that they're going to accumulate more picks like they did last year and bring in another 11, 12, 13 rookies. I think it makes more sense for them to package picks to move up and get a stud offensive lineman, perhaps.
Okay.
Maybe even a stud wide receiver. I don't know if those top three guys, if that makes sense. Or like you said, you know, like Paul and Ian on our roundtable suggested, you know, the Jags tag Josh Allen, and then the Rams send two first round picks, whatever, for someone like that. That would. I'd really be surprised if they did the same thing they did last year, where they maximized the number of picks. Last year, it made sense, you know, get a bunch of guys, bring them in. If you draft well, you know, even if you draft average, an average draft, 14 guys, five or six are going to make their mark, and that's what they needed. And they actually hit on seven or eight, and maybe, you know, the jury's still out on a few of them, could end up being, you know, Zach Evans, what do we know about him? Trey Tomlinson, special teams guy at this point. I like to tell people that, again, I don't know. Someone asked me what I think about Zach Evans, I'd give you a blank stare. I have no idea. But that, you know, that's how I felt about Kyren Williams going into last season, you know. So we don't know. The Rams probably know, but we don't know. But then it occurred to me the other day, if the Rams really had a good feeling about Kyren Williams, why were they trying to trade for McCaffrey? I mean, you know, that doesn't make a Kyren Williams is an incredible running back. That's what we found out last year anyways. Maybe the Rams didn't know either.
I think context is important there, right? Because Kyren Williams was a rookie, had some injury concerns. The Rams were still in a Super Bowl, like run it back mindset when that they were trying to trade for McCaffrey. You know, clearly the season wasn't going super well up to that point, and then it just got worse after that. So I think context is important to that. And I think the jump that Kyren Williams made from, you know, his rookie year to now is phenomenal. Right.
Right.
And he's one of the best running backs in football.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how some of these guys in the, you know, 14 draft picks, I'm not going to list them, but I think there's seven or eight that we feel like we got contributors to this roster. And four or five guys, the jury's still out. Zach Evans, Stetson Bennett, who knows what's going on there. But that's what I think they're going to do, is maximize quality over quantity. But hey, you know, Les Snead knows what he's doing. I have a lot of trust in that staff and that scouting department. For the most part, they do a really good job.
And
so,
sorry, can I just quick ask you on that? Like, do you want to talk about the backup quarterback now, or do you want?
We talked about it last night in the roundtable, and Ian and Paul had some interesting opinions. What do you think we should do?
So, I really think there's. The three options that I see that most people can see if you talk it out. So option number one, Stetson Bennett comes back from, you know, his hiatus and continues to develop as the backup quarterback that he was drafted to be. Option two, sign a veteran free agent, maybe Carson Wentz, maybe someone else, who knows. Or option three, you draft a backup quarterback. Again,
right.
And I'm not opposed to necessarily any of those. I think for me, I just would love stability at the backup position that, like, you know, if we have a game like last year at Green Bay, like Stafford was hurt, he needed a game off, have a guy that can come in and play for one game, right? And I you know, I'm not sure Carson Wentz is the best backup quarterback to have, but I will say he helped beat the Niners, and that was a really fun game, right? Yeah. He played well in that game, and I'm glad he – I think in the third quarter while watching that game, you saw a look in Carson Wentz's eye that was like, there's no way I'm losing this game. Yeah. And you like to see that.
Yeah, I became a Carson Wentz fan during that game. I didn't know much – I mean, I knew a lot about him, but I didn't have really an opinion on him. Other than, you know, the whole Jared Goff, Carson Wentz draft debate back in the day. And it's kind of funny to see, you know, if you woke up from a coma and you heard that Carson Wentz is the quarterback of the Rams and Jared Goff's leading the Lions into the playoffs. You're like, wait, what happened? But the dilemma I see the backup quarterback situation is, and I agree with you, those three options. Do you draft... if you're drafting a quarterback to be your backup, is he also, I guess, you know, only time would tell, is he your potential replacement to Matthew Stafford? And I don't know if there's anybody, there's guys like maybe Spencer Rattler in the third or fourth round, someone like that. What's the guy? There's a quarterback from Houston, I think. I forget his name. There's guys you can get in the fourth or fifth round. And who knows if it's just to be a backup quarterback for one or two games, it's still kind of rolling the dice though, right? If they're going to be up to it and if they're going to be good enough to be in a potential replacement, I would feel much better. Like Paul and Ian brought up names like Gardner Minshew and Drew Lock, guys like that, Carson Wentz. I would feel better about that. Then the rookie route, Stetson Bennett, maybe. Actually, ideally, you'd have one of each. You know, you'd bring in a seasoned veteran of some sort that you know can just, you know, you have a little bit of trust that they're an NFL quarterback. And with this defense, assuming the defense gets squared away, this offensive line, the weapons they have, they can win a game or two. Yeah. The rookie situation, it's still rolling the dice. And if the goal here is, and I think it is we're making a run at the Super Bowl. We have everything in place after free agency and the draft. Otherwise, to do so, I want someone that I know can play NFL level football at the quarterback position. And for a couple of years there, you know, I don't know if McVay thought John Wolford and Bryce Perkins were the answer and Brett Rypien. Sometimes it makes you question Sean McVay's. We know he's a genius and a great quarterback, you know, knows how to coach up quarterbacks and all that. But did he really think these guys were going to be good enough? Although Wolford had his moments, but, you know, they weren't the answer.
Wolford had a high football IQ, right? And whenever you heard him talk about football, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, he's in the quarterback room. He's helping in other ways, not just being the backup quarterback, but, like, you know, looking over game film and noticing things. And like, he was the one, I don't know if you remember when they intentionally took a safety against the Falcons a couple of years ago to win the game. That was apparently John Wolford's idea to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I think that there's something that's important about this year for when addressing the quarterback position that's different than any other year that McVay's been in LA. Cap space. This is the most cap space that the Rams have had since McVay's been in LA. And that gives them options, right? As they re-sign their players and they're adjusting their contracts around, they can budget for a veteran quarterback. You don't have to draft someone. If there's, you know, a quarterback in the draft that you really like and you believe can be a good backup right now and maybe develop into your future, you know, franchise quarterback, maybe you go that route. But if you want to budget the money to sign a Joe Flacco, you know, I'd be okay with that.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's some more changes coming. It's very possible they could, someone posted an article. I wish I could give them credit. I like to give people shout out when they do the homework. You know, restructuring two or three of those contracts could open up a bunch more money for them. So they may do that. I think it was Stafford, Cup, and Donald, if I'm not mistaken. Whether they do that, I mean, that's not always, you know, necessarily the smart thing to do long term.
Yeah.
But if this is their year, hey, this could be Matthew Stafford's last year. Hey, he could play a couple more years for sure. But if this is the last year of Matthew Stafford in his real prime, hey, restructure, make as much money available this year as possible. Go get the people you need. Like you said, get the backup quarterback just in case. You know, go get the edge rusher, and I think they'd be in a good place.
Well, and I think that's something that, you know, it's always the pros and cons of restructuring, right? Because if you restructure and you move the money back to other years when the salary cap increase, sure, that's a strategy and approach to it. However, you know, if Stafford retires and there's still a certain amount of money on the books, right? Like, that's why the Saints have been in, you know, salary cap purgatory for years because of, like, Drew Brees' retirement.
Right. Yeah, and there's a handful of teams that are in really bad shape. Hey, speaking about teams that are in bad shape, in some ways anyways, let's talk real quickly about the NFC West. You know, obviously the 49ers, they have a lot of free agents and they have some cap issues. Brandon Ayuk is apparently unhappy, wants to get paid. Trent Williams, at the end of last year, Trent Williams was talking retirement, hadn't heard anything yet this year. And their offensive line, the right side of their offensive line, as we saw in the Super Bowl, is a weak point for them. And they have some emotional stuff they have to deal with, in my opinion. After that Super Bowl, man, 49ers and 49er Nation, that's a really painful thing they have to deal with and bounce back from. Seattle, new coach, they have some salary cap issues as well. I think, I know Bobby Wagner, Jordan Brooks are both free agents, Wagner again, and they have some issues there. Then the Cardinals are actually, they're in decent shape. They have some roster building to do. I like their coach, though.
They got picks.
I almost feel like the NFC West, I'm not going to say the Rams are the favorite. You know, 49ers are still clearly the favorite, probably the best team. But I really like the Rams' chances in this division, don't you?
I do. I really do. Yeah. No, for all the reasons you said, and I'd even add in that I just think right now there's a coaching advantage with Sean McVay. And sorry, I'll call you later. And I know that the Kyle Shanahan and McVay, you know, debate that the Niners have had the Rams number, but I think if there was a season for the Rams to really turn that narrative around and climb a mountain, I think this season going ahead, there's a lot of positives to like about this Rams team. It's still too early, I think, to tell. I think we need a little bit more information. We need free agency to happen. We need the draft to happen. And then when we get into mini camps, when we get into training camp, let's be listening, right? That's the beauty of the internet world we live in, is we can hear reports. We can kind of filter out what's just coach speak or what's actual reality, right? Because for Puka Nacua is a great example of it. Ram fans were hearing about Nacua from day one, right? We didn't, I don't think even the most optimistic Ram fan thought, oh, he's just going to show up and be a superstar week one against Seattle. But there was a lot of hype of like, hey, we think that Puka Nacua could be a real contributor on offense. And turns out he was.
Yeah, I remember opening day, Cooper Kupp was out, and I didn't, you know, sometimes the Ram insiders don't share as much information as I wish they did. There was a lot of things we didn't know. And I didn't even know that first play from scrimmage, I'm pretty dang sure Puka Nacua is out there. And I saw him and I was like, oh, Puka Nacua is starting. Did not see that coming. And made perfect sense after that Seattle game. He just stood out immediately, and he's such a likable guy too.
Well, just going back, it's funny. Retrospect is so funny because, like, I remember being like, okay, Cooper Kupp's out at least the first 4 weeks of the year. We need Van Jefferson and Cam Akers to step up.
And Tutu.
But, like, boy, were we wrong, right? Like, Akers got a lot of carries against Seattle, but then quickly was traded, and then Van Jefferson was traded after that.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of surprises, a lot of good surprises. And, man, it's going to be this year's draft and the free agency period and the draft is going to be really interesting for the Rams. I have a lot of faith in what Les Snead and Sean McVay do. Mm-hmm. And I just can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, before we wrap things up, tell everybody here again how they can find you, how they can find your YouTube channel, anything you want to share that'll help listeners find you.
Yeah, thanks. If on YouTube, if you put in my name, Payo Time, P-A-Y-O Time, I'm the first channel that comes up. Payo Time, Canadian Rams fan, and just I do watch parties for each and every Rams game, and do, you know, vlogs and little videos about the Rams here and there, sometimes skits. And something that I'm doing, and I haven't really officially like announced this, it's not like a big secret or anything, but I've recently become a licensed travel agent, and that's a service I want to offer to any of my subscribers if they would like me to help them plan their trip to be at SoFi in Los Angeles, or if they want to go to see the Rams on the road to any of those games. I'll be able to like help plan out flights, hotels, and like if they want stuff to do, you know, itineraries.
Is it going to be LA Ram centric travel agency assistance?
For the channel, yes, absolutely. Yes, that's the plan. I'm working on a social media campaign launch. I'm not ready to like full on declare myself that, because you know when you like you start a new venture, you want to get good at it first.
Right, right.
So I'm helping a lot of people plan, like, you know, Disney vacations to Los Angeles or to Orlando at this time, and then I do a lot of cruises right now that I'm helping book people. But eventually, oh, nice. As I become a more, you know, competent travel agent and can do a little bit more customization stuff, I do hope to plan like Ram-centric traveling.
Yeah, I'm not really a cruiser. We are going on a cruise later this year, but I've been eyeballing that cruise. I think it's Quebec City through the St. Lawrence River to the northeast. That's kind of your territory, right?
Yeah, that's in my neck of the woods, yep.
Yeah, so you could help me with that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Yeah. Hey, Payo Time, it's been great having you on board. We got to do this more often. I think the last time we talked, I looked, and I think it was March of 2023, and I remember us talking about how we were both more optimistic. I think that's how that conversation went, more optimistic than most other Ram fans. But let's do this more often. Let's talk again, maybe after the draft. I'll try to join one of your draft party live streams and chat with you on there.
Definitely.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mark. Appreciate it. And yeah, I look forward to our next collab, be it, you know, the draft or free agency, but definitely let's not wait another full year before we collab.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Payo, and have a good one. That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at larramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.